Good day or good evening, and welcome to our little podcast. We present to you today's topic based on the general idea of what happiness is, what it means, and what it means to people around us. My name is Yannick.
And I'm Elora.
And we'll be talking about materialism and the pursuit of happiness. We're happy you could make it. Let's dive into it.
What's the thing you feel most guilty about doing when it comes to society's obsession with materialism? I'm going to be honest and say, I'm anti-capitalist, but I do want to own a fancy yellow convertible cabriolet and drive down the coast to Santa Monica towards my mansion by the sea.
Well, personally, I am not an complete anti-capitalist, but I see the issues many people face in modern capitalist societies, especially in the United States, where the American dream is no longer a phenomenon across the Big Lake. You know, and yet, I have to agree that it's very satisfying to imagine driving in an expensive car and living in an expensive house in LA.
Is that bad? Are we shallow people to think that owning things will make us happy?
Well, I don't know if shallow is the right word. The question is really, would we be any happier if we owned all the things that we can't afford?
Yet.
Well, yeah, but we both agree that having money is better than not having it. And basic needs is not the same thing as buying shiny toys.
I agree that money provides safety, and I imagine crying in a Lamborghini is more comforting than crying on a bike. But there's a whole other dimension to think about other than extra luxuries. I might voice my socialist opinion here, but I believe that people have a right to basic needs, you know, met independently from your income, and I'm not talking about food or shelter here. There are people out there fighting to afford healthcare and transportation, but I'm also saying people should have paid holidays to stay motivated and keep sane. Which makes me wonder, what do filthy rich people do if more money and more items does not make them any happier? Speaking in terms of, it's the self-image that could drive people to always strive for the next higher goal. I swear I'm going to lay low after I made the next 10 million quid. Or the next.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I would think that at some point the values of the object become inflated to the point where they would not mean anything to the person anymore. And yet, this does not seem to be the case. Over the last decade, we have seen the wealth of the top 1% increase to extraordinary levels, while the growth of the middle and lower class has stayed stagnant. Wages, and especially minimum wages, have not grown relative to inflation, and people are left living paycheck to paycheck. It really makes you think how people can care so little for their fellow citizens.
You know, there's a study made by Tim Kasser, professor of psychology at the University of Illinois, I'd like to present to our listeners. He wrote this book called The High Praise of Materialism. The points he made were, we all want well-being. Sounds relatable. People crave materialism and focus on their goal and getting what they want tend to disregard other people's well-being, the environment, or general factors that could improve a community or world population. Very surprising. For example, and this is my interpretation, we have evil billionaires like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, you know. There's been an increase of billionaires and millionaires, and also millions of people were driven into poverty during this global pandemic. It's bonkers. There's reason to suggest that materialism is a bigger problem for poor people because they are constantly confronted with advertisements and all these perfect examples of a successful life on billboards and in commercial ads and whatnot. Poor people can be more insecure, is what I'm saying, because of the perception of the media and pop culture on material capitalism.
Definitely, and it is this high degree of promotion of materialistic attitudes that leads people to be selfish, narcissistic, and manipulative in their quest to maximize profit for personal wealth. I mean, advertising is especially guilty of this behavior because it teaches people that no matter what they have, it's not enough, and you need to spare careless amounts of money to be happy. Well, Are they happy?
Well, both Bezos and Gates just got a divorce, so... Do they have children? I know Musk is a dad when he's not currently playing the privatized version of Star Trek. Think about how rich kid assholes of really, really rich families behave sometimes. They can become little monsters. This is mainly because parents can send their children the wrong message if their life only focuses on wealth. What's a good example? Oh yeah, that one girl in the story, Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. Daddy, I want that golden ticket. Daddy, I want a new pony. Daddy, get me that squirrel. Remember how angry she got when she didn't get what she wanted.
Oh God, yeah. Actually, I think they call that cold parenting. You know, if people think they can only make their kids happy by giving them all the material wealth they can and or they want, and, you know, thus buying the love of their children. It does seem like children of rich parents are not as happy as they'd like to portray themselves on social media. Some have come out and said that their parents seem more focused on becoming wealthier and not as much on, you know, focusing on their kids and how they're doing. You know, this can lead to young teenagers especially wondering if their parents actually love them. I mean, what do children do when they think their parents love money more than them? Maybe they compensate for this void with material wealth and recognition of social media through things like likes and shares. I think they must feel some sort of emptiness, and they do try to fill it with more likes on Instagram and making people jealous. And this is also not a phenomenon among rich kids. Mommy, mommy, I want this new limited edition sneaker so my friends will like me better. Of course, honey. Anything for my special little boy.
Well, Tim Kasser, the Illinois University professor I talked about, also said that interventions for children who couldn't grasp the concept of budgeting were more successful. This shows that education is the first step to a better and happier world.
A surprise to absolutely no one.
Now there's also the opposing point of view, a different kind of philosophy. What is that?
Oh, you mean Diogenes, the ancient Greek philosopher, founder of Cynicism, and the guy who held a raw chicken in front of a crowd of people and yelled, "Behold the man!"
That's him.
Well, to give a brief history of this hilarious character, Diogenes was exiled from Sinope and as a result chose to reject society as it had rejected him. He owned nothing but a bowl, which he threw away after he saw a peasant boy cupping his hands to drink water. He exclaimed, "How could I have been so foolish to carry this superfluous baggage?" And as I said, he is one of the founders of Cynicism, which sees virtue as life's purpose and rejecting desires of wealth, power, and fame. For him, this also meant rejection of societal norms, which includes being homeless, apart from living inside a very large barrel in which he often slept in. But it also means defecating and masturbating in public. So,
oh,
generally not a very pleasant man to be around.
Was he a happy man? If you can be happy being unpleasant, maybe he just didn't give a single care in the world.
In his words, he was happiest when he was able to live out his life the way he wanted. Despite of his way of life and becoming enslaved for a time, he lived to be 89 years old, which is a respectable age even today. I have a question. Do you renounce materialism in your personal life? I mean, why support the capitalist system if you're against it?
I think I live in a relatively modest way, while still enjoying the good quality of life, of course. I don't have the desire to put myself out there and prove my status to people, like wearing brand clothes or getting the new iPhone every year. However, I desperately need a new phone. Mine is 5 years old now. See, that's how I live, being a broke student myself. But no, I don't want to own trendy stuff and flounder them around. I don't even go to Starbucks so I can show off my Frappuccino in social media. No judgment, for people generally enjoy doing that. even though literally no one cares what they do. The only thing I'm bothered by is when certain people in fancy gatherings I happen to be invited to as well start talking or bragging about their golf club, yacht holiday in the Caribbean, etc., etc., and then they have the nerve to ask me what I did last summer with a smug attitude, you know, and I answer truthfully, I literally lived in a cave in the mountains of South Spain for 3 weeks. That's my getaway. Imagine their faces. Oh God, I hate snobs. What we talked about, though, was how the system pushes the certain materialistic agenda onto us, right? I really do support that whole eat the rich attitude amongst all those woke people today, but it's in general incredibly hard, so hard to not be affected by, I don't know, the newest trends practically forced onto you by peer pressure. I see that in my younger cousin, who's a TikTok influencer.
Wait, hold up. Your cousin is a TikTok influencer?
Yes, she is. This is also a wonderful example of how materialism as a consequence of capitalism can affect a person in a negative way. Sure, my cousin has fun doing her videos, but she is forced to upload every day, put new content out there and sell herself as a product in order to stay in demand. And that's just her job, all right? She earns her money by making brand deals and, in fact, that sounded harsh. Even younger TikTok users, by spreading the message that you only have to look a certain way or buy this particular item of clothing to belong in this society and be desirable, which is a sick message for teens, if you ask me. Just recently, she advertised a special diet milkshake to an audience that isn't older than 15.
Essentially, this is what it's all about, right? Desire. I see your cousin's profession as almost an addiction, right?
Oh yes, it absolutely is. It's a craving for attention, maybe. And getting more attention or being envied makes some people happy. It's a powerful drug.
I mean, we know big corporations, for example, use addiction as a tactic to maximize their income. I mean, think about how much suffering desire for wealth has caused people in Las Vegas. Let's talk about that for a second. Gambling addiction and the momentary rush of endorphins when you make a big win.
Right. But it's all just an illusion, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. An uncle of mine had a gambling addiction in the past. Obviously, there has to be some kind of motivation to increase your wealth by luck. My uncle had hoped he could hit the jackpot every time he went into the casino. But sadly, this is how stories like this always go. He lost thousands. Of course, this caused a lot of conflict at home with his wife, and he called many of his relatives, asking them if they could lend him some money. It made him incredibly unhappy. I mean, he knew he had an addiction. He was ashamed of what he was doing, and even when he was in therapy, this habit still weighs on him heavily and has severely affected his self-confidence. He's still in debt, I think. That's one of the ways how capitalism destroys a life. In your example, your cousin's happiness is prevented by a constant need or duty to prove herself and receive love from total strangers.
Makes sense. I've no right to talk about her personal affairs, but she has her reasons why she needs this validation from strangers.
Wow, this podcast took a sad turn.
What if we talk about happiness? We need to investigate what elements that prevent us from reaching this goal could possibly be eliminated.
We should do it like Diogenes, and I don't, just don't give a flying fuck about what others think.
Amen.
Well, to wrap this all up, wouldn't you agree that material wealth does not guarantee happiness?
Oh, absolutely. Unnecessary items won't fill the lack of human connection everyone craves and or the regret when eventually they look back on their life as it comes to an end. Who thinks about the things you've bought with all that money then, huh? I don't know about you, but I'm hoping I will make an impact on the happiness of other people. And that will be the greatest personal happiness I will get out of this life. That's the ultimate reward.
I can't agree more, and I would hope that others also adopt this attitude in their lives.
Thank you, everyone who was listening to this podcast. Don't forget to check out the links for further reading in the description if you're interested. Otherwise, may you find the thing that gives you unconditional happiness, in whatever form it comes. In the end, that's a very personal point of view. Bye.